He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday, October 18th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I've got Barry Kite here, our resident chartered financial analyst. Hey, 2 days in a row. Well, we've seen this a few times here recently. In fact, 2 weeks ago we started the week with two big up days in a row. It disappeared. What will it do this time? Is the current bear market that we are in all of a sudden over? Well, let's just kind of go through the news of the day, and we'll try to figure things out here together. The Dow up 563 today, which puts it at 30,749. It seems to be trying to build the bottom around the 29,000 area. The S&P 500 is up 71.9% today to 3,748. The NASDAQ is up 203 to 10,878. Crude oil down $1.85 today. Gold is down $6. The 10-year down a little bit, but 3.97. It's way up there, 3.97. And Bitcoin is down $19 right now to $19,569. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Barry, we had a day yesterday. The Dow was up 550 yesterday. And we're up about that same amount again today. Now, this is reminiscent of 2 weeks ago when we started off the week. It seems to be about the UK situation, because that has also brought the dollar down the last couple of days. I don't see this as sustainable.
Yeah, I think the bank earnings, I think, you know, folks are seems to be riding some good news from the bank earnings, but we have to remember the bank earnings aren't they don't go a long ways towards determining which way earnings season is going to go. They were kind of disappointed last quarter when we thought they should have a good quarter in terms of net interest with interest rates rising, but they kind of reported pretty fairly soft compared to where we thought, you know, folks thought they would be. And then, of course, second quarter earnings kind of, you gave them, a B+. So the rest of the earnings came in good. This time it seems to be potentially a bit of the opposite. So,
yeah, we'll see. It just doesn't seem real sustainable right now to me. But having said that, I think it was Morgan Stanley yesterday that was predicting a kind of a bear market rally in the market that could take it back up to the 4,000 area. And then they predicted that the bear market would resume, which I'm glad they've got a crystal ball, to see those next moves in the market. But I always kind of determine and make up my mind, and a big factor on my thinking is looking at the individual stocks of the market. And, yesterday it was up 550, and I went through the entire database of 6,000 stocks, ETFs, mutual funds yesterday. I didn't find one thing, not one thing that was exciting to me on the long side of the market. And, in fact, I once again was not impressed by the quality of the stocks that were leading the move yesterday. It seemed to be more the heavily shorted stocks, the Mercado Libres, the Wayfairs, the Carvanas, the Coinbase stocks of the world. So, yeah, I'm not like all of a sudden convinced that that the bear market is over and we're going to turn around here suddenly. So let's just take a look at some of the news that is driving the market. Yesterday, like I said, we had a pretty big day. The Dow was up 550. The NASDAQ had a really big day. Now, that's another clue there. The NASDAQ has more short interest. I mean, the heavily shorted stocks are the Carvanas and the Mercado Libres and the Wayfairs, etc. They had the biggest moves yesterday. Now, I can tell you from experience, people are not all of a sudden, investors are not all of a sudden saying, wow, Carvana is going to lead the market here for the next several months. It's a market leader. No, there's a lot of short interest that's built up in these stocks, a lot of short interest. And you get any kind of news, especially the market is really sensitive to the U.S. dollar right now. And investors should look at that chart every day, UUP, because you'll see that the market on days when the dollar drops, which there hasn't been many of those recently, and that's one of the reasons why we've seen so many down days in the market, but when you get a drop in the dollar, you see moves, and a lot of it is short covering in the Carvanas and the Wayfairs of the world. Let's see. We had the NASDAQ. We have, you know, is it buy the dip or sell the rallies? Those are kind of two different phenomenons. When you have an uptrending market, which we had since 2009, I mean, almost every time you were right to buy the dip, okay, and especially in the tech stocks, in the NASDAQ. But now you've got a market that topped out, you know, several months ago and has been pointing down and has entered into bear market territory. And so far, what has been the right thing to do has been to sell the rallies. And we'll see if the market does that again. But so far, every rally attempt that the NASDAQ has made, especially the NASDAQ, it's met with some heavy selling, and it resumes its downtrend. So we'll see how this one plays out. Bank of England, their quantitative tightening delay could help stocks by riling the dollar bears. Somewhat lost amid the Wall Street rally on Monday was the U.S. dollar rolling over. Well, you know, it didn't roll over that much. UUP was at 31, and now it's at 30. But that was the first drop in several days where we've seen a U.S. dollar drop, and that it dropped because all of a sudden, apparently, the situation in the U.K. looks better than it did last week. And so on a relative basis, you see, you know, the currencies trade on a relative basis one against another. And all of a sudden, you see a rise. FXB is the British pound. And you can see that it hit bottom about a month ago, and then since they've been doing a U-turn on the tax cuts, which didn't seem to be very popular. You know, it's kind of, she ran on tax cuts. And that's one of the reasons that the UK elected her. And then she gets into office.
Sounds like they may do a U-turn on the Prime Minister.
I saw
a poll. You know who they prefer as the next Prime Minister?
Who is it now?
Boris Johnson.
Okay, so, let's bring Bojo back.
It's like a kind of like a Churchill moment. I think he left and came back a few times, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah,
That was a poll that I saw from the UK, which was pretty surprising. Talk about a real U-turn, right?
Yes, and well, you know, I mean, and then she apologized, but that's what she ran on and that's what she was elected on. But you know what? The tax cuts, not a popular thing in today's global community. And they attacked her viciously. I mean, that goes against...
Well, we always say politicians aren't the greatest at economics. So,
no. You know. But who knows? Maybe tax cuts would have helped spur the UK economy, which has pretty much been in the doldrums here recently. But nevertheless, It has had a big impact in the world markets here. What's been going on, the drama in the UK. Okay, now when we come back, I still say, you know, I'm more worried about an earnings peak than an inflation peak. So we're going to stay really focused on earnings. This is now earnings season, and we have several here this morning. And we'll be going through some of those reports here today and picking them apart a little bit. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We will be hitting the road in mid-November. This time we're headed back to Sarasota to meet with folks during the days of Tuesday and Wednesday, November 16th and 17th. We'll be at the Hyatt Regency, which is a nice place to meet there. There's lots of free parking. We'll be doing the show live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. But you can set up appointments with Bill and Barry together in the same room with between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. We won't be meeting with clients this time. It's a very short trip, and we expect to fill those few available appointments very, very quickly. So, again, that's Tuesday and Wednesday, November 16th and 17th at the Hyatt Regency there on the water in downtown, near downtown Sarasota, a real nice spot. And if you, again, would like to meet with us, Bill and Barry will be together meeting with folks. You can set up an appointment with us. Edie is our appointment setter, and she'll be on the trip with us. You can call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, and talk with Edie. And then in a couple weeks, I'm going down, Barry, for some hurricane cleanup. Our church has been called on to provide 10 people, and I'm going down with a crew of about 100 from our area.
Oh, wow.
That's on October the 30th. We're going to the Venice area. So I got a couple of trips. And I'm not going to do a newsletter that weekend, okay? That's going to be one of the few times in my history. But I just feel like this is more important, and I want to go down and help out. We love our folks and clients and listeners down in the Florida area. And so I've got two trips coming up to Florida, the Florida area. Okay, now, for whatever reason, the financials have all of a sudden, they're pretty much leading the charge that we've seen, even though every charge has fizzled so far. I'm just looking at the ETF for the financial sector, IYF. That's a very good proxy for the financial sector. And it appears to have a pretty solid bottom in there. And, you know, if you're looking for lower P.E. stocks in an environment that is really punishing high P.E. stocks, the financial sector may provide some good ideas there. Now, why do financials do well in a rising interest rate environment? Well, you know what? It's the same reason that insurance stocks do well in a rising interest rate environment. Look what their financial stocks are making on the cash they're sitting on, Barry, right?
Yeah, well, they can, you know, it's the, you know, the, you know, the old true banking world, right, where you're taking in deposits and you're lending lending it out at a higher rate, and as interest rates go up, there tends to be a bigger spread, or what they refer to as interest rate margin, on those dollars. So you're getting, you know, 0% on your checking account. You're not getting, you know, much in your savings account, for example. And then they're able to lend out that cash, certain amount of it, beyond their reserves. And, they're making that, interest, on there. And you can see, if you look at, you know, Bank of America, we're probably going to begin to get a good bit of the, of your mid-major banks, regional type banks, and they're going to be more, certainly more of a true banking versus you look at the earnings for Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan even or Morgan Stanley. Well, a lot of that, you know, has to do with trading revenue as well, or investment banking revenue versus just, you know, pure bread and butter banking. And that's why you've seen these, you know, financials, you know, kind of take off early on. Like I said, it's not hugely representative of what's going to happen elsewhere. I think, you know, the Johnson & Johnson numbers from today are kind of, you know, more along the lines of what we're a bit worried about.
Right. Yeah. And I've looked through about 300 or 400 stocks so far in my database. Got 5,600 more to go before the end of the day. But the real breakouts, I mean, the really solid breakouts are occurring in small banks, and in regional banks. And let's not forget that volatility in the market plays into their hands in a lot of ways, especially Goldman Sachs was crediting, you know, the volatility for people repositioning their investments. And when people reposition their investments, there's always, commissions involved there, fees earned by Goldman Sachs. But having said that, now about the banks, which probably look better than any sector in the market right now, I'm looking, you know, for some more long buys, and the financials would probably be my number one area that I'm shopping in. I've also seen some pretty good action in the pharma area of the market, because that's another low PE, pretty steady growth, reliable area that's not as, is pretty much insulated from a recession, etc. But now, Goldman Sachs CEO during the conference call, David Solomon, says it's time to be cautious. This is what he's telling investors. With recession risk and higher embedded inflation, he struck a note of caution, which I still, this is where I'm at right now. My thinking is along the line of his. Caution in the wake of the financial giant's street-beating quarterly results, saying the economic headwinds will likely impact both consumers and the markets in the coming quarters. He says it's time to be cautious. He said most economists are predicting slow to no growth in the U.S., and they're predicting negative growth across other developed economies in Europe. So, yeah, I mean, not only is it time to be cautious, but we have some inverse hedges a lot in Europe and the emerging markets because of what we see out there, in the rest of the world. So even though they came in, they beat earnings pretty soundly, he sounds a note of caution right now.
Well, in J&J, Johnson & Johnson reported, this morning too, and they actually lowered their full-year revenue outlook and basically citing inflationary and currency headwinds, which is the two things worried about. So.
Yes.
A multinational company versus,
right,
you know, even your big banks here, they're certainly have less currency, you know, headwinds than your large conglomerates out there.
Yep, so you've got Johnson & Johnson beats by 6 cents, but here's what everybody's looking for, that guidance. They didn't say anything about next year. They lowered this year, 2022, guidance. Okay, we'll be right back with more earnings and a lot on electric, the EV sector. A lot of that in the news today. Also, we'll be right back. Tin soldiers and Nixon coming. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We've got the market still up. It's given up some of its gains. The Dow is up 434 right now. NASDAQ up 145. We'll see. You know, every rally attempt in the market for the last several months has been sold off and then to go on to make new lows in the market. So we'll see where this one goes. We've had a couple of two-day rallies here, pretty big ones. We had one last week, too, on Thursday. We had almost a 1,000-point gain after the CPI numbers came out. The market was all over the place. There seems to be a big connection right now to what's going on in the UK in our markets, and I think it's disrupting some of the heavy short interest that is in the market right now. And you've got, that just makes moves worse on the downside and better on the upside. So we'll see how it plays out. I think there's still a lot of short interest, and I think there's still a lot of selling to be done. Every time the market rallies, you've got people that are underwater in stocks looking for some kind of a graceful exit from those stocks. That's just been my observations over the 23 years that I've been a professional money manager. Okay, Stellantis Auto, which, it's Chrysler and Fiat and a bunch of other brands, I think Jeep. The CEO calls for a rethink of EU's aggressive carbon reduction goals. Probably as he sits in his office and with his thermostat at 58, getting kind of cold over there in Europe these days. But he is saying that the plan to ban internal combustion engines, this is the EU, okay, by 2035. In the summer of 2022, the European Parliament agreed upon a pathway to reach zero emissions in road mobility by 2035. That sets out to be effectively eliminate production of new passenger and light commercial vehicles utilizing fossil fuel-powered engines. Okay, well, he says Carlos Tavares, CEO of major European automaker Stellantis, is not as optimistic that goal is a realistic goal. He indicated that the rising cost of electric vehicles, now that is a big factor, Barry. You know, I have a friend that got one of those Ford Lightning.
The truck.
Ford quietly raised the price of those things by 10 or 15% recently. So maybe they're good investments, you know. You buy one and the price is going up because the cost is going up of all the components of the car, lithium, the batteries, etc. Tavares says that this is going to shut many less wealthy consumers out of the auto market altogether. He says that the dogmatic decision that was taken to ban the sale of thermal vehicles in 2035 has social consequences that are unmanageable. Well, you know, what is society like with only the rich?
Is only that what we call thermal? Are they're called thermal vehicles?
Somehow,
now?
That's
a new term, huh?
Yes.
I must have missed that one.
I never heard that before. But he says that this layer of dogma must now be supplemented by a layer of pragmatism. If you deny middle classes access to freedom of movement, you're going to have a social problem. We must offer a transitional solution. maybe, you know, hybrid cars or whatever.
Well, whatever happened to the original? Didn't we, I think you and I talked about this, or I was talking with the client about it. What happened to the, you know, my parents have a real hybrid where, you know, the thing gets, I don't know, 90, almost 90 miles a gallon, but it does both, you know.
Yeah, it's both.
I don't know.
That's what, well, you know, one of the best cars we ever had was a Prius. My wife loved her Toyota Prius. It got about 50 miles to the gallon. It's actually still in the family. It's been handed down to folks over the years. We finally sold it to our son-in-law. And that's a great little car. I mean, that's an in-between. To go all electric, wow, by 2035.
Try to get out of the way of Ian, right, with the, we've talked about this, wildfires.
Wildfires
in California, they said don't charge your car, remember? It was like,
yes.
Okay.
It's a problem. Okay, here's a new use for the Jack Daniel's distillery. In Lynchburg, have you ever been there, Lynchburg, Tennessee?
I have. I've been to that. I've been to that one and been on, you know, kind of on the Bourbon Trail up in Louisville, Lexington, kind of that area. They do. I'm interested to hear what you say because they do like multi-use for a lot of that.
Yes.
Those kind of facilities.
Well, TC Energy out of Canada, which is TRP. I mean, they're the ones that run the big Keystone Pipeline. They're going to team up with Three Rivers Energy to use feedstock from Jack Daniel's Whiskey Distillery in Lynchburg to produce renewable natural gas. So, whiskey power there under the hood.
Yeah, I heard they do that actually on a tour in Buffalo's Trace in Kentucky. They explain the same thing. They almost use everything that's left over, right? Whether it's barrels,
recycle everything.
They don't really waste anything. It's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah. So anyways, and yesterday we heard about BP buying out that Archaea Energy, LFG, for a 53% premium. And then those other renewable, so it's renewable natural gas, which is about 50% of the emissions of, straight natural gas. So now all of a sudden you've got this big, it's RNG. We've talked a lot about LNG. There's not a lot of players in the RNG, but we've named several, and that's a pretty hot play right now, that renewable natural gas play, which to me, you know, I always thought, why don't we move to liquid natural gas? There was a big movement towards that for a long time, and then that just kind of fell flat on its face. But anyways, renewable natural gas, especially for diesel trucks.
Yeah, it seems like we got enamored with the, you know, I mean, and Tesla was, you know, super sexy, right?
Maybe.
It's almost like we got enamored, you know, with the fully electric car, and we just skipped right over, you know, went from combustible engines straight to electric and somehow missed, you know, the in-between stage.
Hybrid that uses natural gas and the battery, you know? Maybe we should come up with something there. Okay, tonight Netflix will report. That was one of the stocks that led the NASDAQ. I looked through all 100 NASDAQ composite stocks yesterday, just saying, is this a meaningful move in this NASDAQ? Because it was pretty large yesterday. But when I see an outsized move like that in the NASDAQ in a downtrending market, I always want to look at the quality of the stocks that are making up the move. And it seemed to be the lower quality stocks. Not that Netflix is a lower quality stock, but it has been beleaguered. I mean, Netflix has really taken it on the chin recently. It's got
it was
a little
700 at one point, right? When in the
700 it was 700, and now it's 243, and the chart has just been like dead in the water all year. It does have a little bit of renewed life because they're going to have a subscription or
for $6.99.
Yeah, but you got to watch ads.
The problem there is what I think they said it's going to expect to bring in about $2 billion in ad revenue. But you're also going to potentially cannibalize some of your whatever the subscription payment is now. I don't know, $14.99, $12.99, $21.99, something of that nature. So
yeah, I would think that it wouldn't be a net gainer for them. But anyways. They're hoping for a subscriber turnaround because they've had some horrible reports over the last several quarters of subscriber lack of growth there. So they'll be reporting. We got a big one in the a buyout, Lilly, which looks actually a pretty good-looking stock right now. I was mentioning Big Pharma. Both Lilly and Merck. Are holding up really well in this market. Lilly currently has a relative strength of 95. That's pretty good for a big pharma stock. Lilly is buying AKUS today for a huge, huge premium. It's gene therapy. That stock's up 86% today. When we come back, let's see where AKUS was ranked recently in the app, just for fun. Usually there's a little bit of buying going on before these big buyouts. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And just taking a quick look at the markets here. Let's see where they're at right now. We had a big bump out of the gate. And second day in a row. Well, they're holding on to their gains. Dow up 443 right now. You've got the 10-year at 3.99. down 2 basis points. The yield curve has narrowed just a little bit since last week. A reminder, we'll be hitting the road in mid-November. Down to Sarasota we go. We'll be at the Hyatt Regency Hotel on Tuesday and Wednesday, November 16th and 17th. And if you'd like to set up an appointment face-to-face with Bill and Barry, you can give us a call at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. And set up an appointment with us while we're there. Those appointments will fill up quickly. That's why I'm starting now to announce it, because we know how fast those have filled up in the past. All right, so here we go. We got what's moving in the market today. Well, once again, as I look through the quality of the move, I'm not all that impressed of the quality of the stocks underneath the move. You know, the indexes are one thing, but what is making up that move is a whole nother thing. It's mostly these news-driven stocks that are kind of leading the market. The biggest sector in the market today are the banks. And I can't remember the last time that the banking sector, was the leading sector in the market. Now, we're just talking a few days here. I'm not seeing anything. I look at BNKU, which is 3 times the banking index. You know, it's up 6.3% today, and it's mostly because of Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs itself is a leader in the market, although it's falling back from its highs that it was at this morning. Goldman Sachs is now up 4.3%. And I look at Goldman Sachs in the overall scheme of things, it's not one of my top rank stocks at all. The banks, and then I look at some of these smaller banks, WTFC, That's a nice breakout in the smaller, kind of under the radar bank. There's a lot of those smaller banks that are breaking out right now. Now, the big mover that was up is up 83%. You know, actually, it was doing pretty well. AKUS, 1 month ago in the app. This is a small company, okay? The market cap on AKUS is just $479 million. That's after it was bought out. So this morning it was about $200 million, which makes it a micro cap. But it was ranked number 306 about 3 weeks ago in the app. Somebody, it sounds like somebody knew something. And then yesterday or Friday, it was ranked number 391. Now, that's out of 6,057, something like that. And then I actually had it kind of tagged as a stock to watch because it was so highly rated, and the chart was kind of suspect. It kept rising. It had a huge day last Thursday. Last Thursday, it had a breakout, which I think I might have sent out a tweet about it just because, you know, when I see a breakout like that. And then today it's getting bought out by Lilly for an 87% premium.
Okay. Yeah, and you know that's kind of the way that a lot of these big pharma companies now are. You know, they kind of that's kind of their one of their development pipelines is buying companies as once they have something proven or something close to proven, and then they're a marketing machine, so Lilly can sell it better than they've got a whole sales force,
yeah,
and other uses for their technology where they can the company's worth much more to them than the company is kind of as a standalone entity.
Yeah, and then you usually get, when there's a buyout like that, associated companies in that same kind of field, whatever this company is working on. Other ones, I'm seeing Madrigal Pharmaceutical way up, several other biotechs way up. But that's, when you do see a small biotech stock breaking out and moving like that, it's definitely worth looking at. You know, there's not supposed to be any insider buying, people with insider knowledge. But you know what? The lunchroom, memos, emails, talk amongst the directors and whatnot, there always seems to be some unusual activity before these big events take place.
And it's usually two things. One, it's either they're going to get bought out potentially. The other one is if you look on the FDA calendar and if they're expecting some kind of announcement, right, in terms of some trial. Now, the second one being a risky proposition because that trial can go either direction a lot of times. But, if they didn't have a trial out and you see the up move, then, the kind of buyout, scenario is kind of on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, then the other one that kind of jumps off the page at me today, I read an article this morning. I mean, PermaBear, Nouriel Roubini, who is an economist that has almost always been negative on the economy, the stock market, you name it. He's now saying we're already in World War III. That's according to Nouriel Roubini. It began with the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, and now China wants to take Taiwan. So I'm seeing the defense stocks. Of course, Lockheed Martin reported earnings today. That's a pretty good jump. That's probably another sector that's holding up pretty well, the defense stocks right now, and they're low P.E. stocks. Lockheed is a 15 P.E. ratio. And they pay pretty big dividends, too, 2.9%. So I might look at a few defense stocks here today. Okay, if you'd like to set up an appointment with us while we're going to be in Sarasota, November 16, 17, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to set up a virtual appointment with us, that same number, 855-611-BEST. And if you'd like to get the newsletter that's coming with the daily trade idea list these days, go to GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.